You haven't opened there yet. Please go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. Hebrews, James, Peter, John, Revelation. Towards the end of the Bible there, it's only a couple of pages long, written by the apostle Peter. Our theme for this year in the English service will be Christianity with Answers. Christianity with Answers. Why that? Because I want this year for us to be a church that is able to answer people who would ask us about our faith. And also to answer questions to ourselves where we have doubts or anxieties or fears about what we believe. What is my faith? And so I want us to be people who can answer, not just anyone but ourselves, questions that we might have. And last week I shared part one of the series. And if you were not here, I want to invite you to go to mitakigc.com to listen to that sermon. Today will be part 1.2. Last week I covered a lot of ground and was not able to finish or basically say all that I thought God had to say to us from our verse last week. So this week will be part 1.2 of that. And as is our custom, I'd like us to read the scriptures together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Just one verse. Shall we read together? But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. When I was in college, a university student, there was a kind of boom at that time. This was the late 90s. And the boom was swing dancing. Are you familiar with swing dancing? Yes? Okay, Roy's, yeah, all right, swing dancing. swing dancing is dancing to swing music. Okay. So that's the kind of music, and for some strange reason, university students across the country of the United States were finding partners and going to dance halls and learning to swing dance. And that was kind of the popular thing when I was in school. There was a girl, of course, that I was trying to catch while I was in college, and she was a swing dancer. And so, naturally, I had to become a swing dancer in order to get her. So I worked myself into her circle of friends and was able to get myself invited to a swing dance event. However, I had never swung dance in my life up to that point. Fortunately, I had a roommate who was great. He was a swing kid, and he knew all of the latest moves and throws and spins, and not only could he teach me, but he also could teach me how to do it well. So before the night of the big event, I had him teach me, you know, just the basic moves, but also how to look cool while I'm doing it. And he taught me some great things, lots of cool things. And one was, you know, how to get the girl onto the knee, and then she jumps on your knee, and then you throw her. And it's this big, exciting, flashy move. But it's very simple, very easy. So he said, you can do it, no problem. Just, you know, a little bit of practice with me. And that was it. And so the night had come, and I felt so confident. I was ready, and I had what I called an arsenal. Do you know what arsenal is? Arsenal means, like, weapons. You know, when you want to fight somebody, you have your fists, you have your knife, you have your gun, you have your baseball bat. That's your arsenal. And so now I had my arsenal to go swing dancing. I had my spins, you know, my tosses, my moves. And I was just thinking, just wait till they see me on that dance floor. It's going to be fire. And everything was going great. I was doing everything right. And I was wowing all of her friends, and I was impressing myself. You know, I was good. Look at me. And then one point, it came to that part where I was going to throw her. And I said, okay, no problem. It's easy. I'm going to show you how to do it. We'll do this. And, you know, I said, you just jump on my knee, and then I'm going to just toss you, and you just hold on, you know. And so we're doing it, you know. She jumps on the knee, and I throw her, and our hands were sweaty, you know, wet. And her hand slipped from my hand, and she's flying across the dance floor and falls miserably. And, you know, I was just overconfident and ended up embarrassing myself and also embarrassing my date, my partner. This year, I believe God's call for us as a church is to be equipped with an arsenal. I want us to be ready with answers, ready to give reasonable answers about our faith, about Christianity, reasons about our faith, why being a Christian makes sense. It is based on logic, based on reason. Christianity is not an illogical or unreasonable religion. And we're going to look at arguments, we're going to look at evidence, we're going to look at famous philosophers who gave good reasons for their faith, but also we're going to look at evidence for our faith. Evidence in archaeological findings, in modern science, in biology, in chemistry, in physics. And it's not going to be a university class. This is not a laboratory. But we are going to look at these things in light of our faith, because God says to worship Him with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. And so we are to offer God our best songs, our best efforts, and our best thinking. We are not to be lazy Christians when it comes to thinking about our faith. And so I want us to be ready, as the scripture says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. However, as we load up and build up our minds and get equipped with this arsenal of evidence and reason, I don't want us to be overconfident and end up dropping our partner. It says that we are to do this with gentleness and respect. We are not to be overconfident, not to be abrasive, argumentative, or even militant. That's the danger. When you when you start studying your faith and thinking about reasoning and thinking of answers to people, I know what happens to me. Whenever I read a good book about my faith, I'm looking for somebody to talk to. It's, you know, just trying to provoke an argument. And that's not what Scripture says for us to do. It says that we are to answer people with gentleness and with respect. Without gentleness and respect, we'll end up dropping our partner, and we may win the argument, but we are be losing the person. The purpose of having an answer is not to win arguments, but to win people. Not to win the argument, but to win people. We win people with our conversation. Excuse me. We win people when our conversation is confident, but not proud. God opens people's hearts when our conversation is kind, but not patronizing. The gospel is spread when our conversation is lively, but not confrontational. There's no need to provoke an argument or to manipulate the conversation. You see, the scripture says that people will ask us. In other words, the conversations will open themselves to the topic of our religion. It will be natural when the conversation comes to the Bible or Jesus Christ, because the scripture says that people will ask us. Our responsibility is not, you know, to make the conversation go to God or, you know, anything to manipulate the conversation. Our responsibility is to be ready, to be prepared when it does. And oh, it will. You know, I preached on this last week, and already on Monday, I go to work and two people ask me what my New Year's resolution was. And I told you last week, you know, I said my goal was Jaja's goal. Well, I don't know Jaja's goal, but Jaja challenged us last week to read the Bible in 1 year. And so naturally when people asked me, what's your New Year's resolution? I said, well, I want to read the Bible in 1 year. And I'm so glad that I told you guys last week, because I was able to almost practice my answer to what I would say when people asked me that. But you know what? After that, after they asked me what my resolution was, I didn't go into a full gospel presentation. I didn't give them evidence for why the Bible was true. I just simply gave my simple reasons and then politely, in return, asked what their resolution was. The Bible teaches us to be ready with the right answers. But not just the right answers, but with the right attitude. To be ready with the right answers, but also with the right attitude, with gentleness and respect. In another place, God says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity and let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Seasoned with salt means basically make your conversation taste good. So having a conversation is like cooking. Okay. Now, some of us are naturally good at cooking, and some of us need some practice. Yesterday, I cooked for the first time in a long time, and jumped in there and said, okay, let me cook. What are you making? What are we making today? Curry. Okay, no problem. Curry. Just some chicken, some potatoes, some onions, some carrots. And for some strange reason, I thought, just in case, you know, Naomi usually likes to make things in Japanese what they call usu aji. Usui means light, or I like to think bland, basically no flavor. But that's Naomi's way of cooking, and that's more healthy. I'm okay with that. But I was cooking yesterday, and I like koi aji, heavy, strong, potent flavor. So I thought, just in case, I want to, you know, make this Chris's curry, so let's put some salt in there for seasoning. And just for good measure, I put in an extra bit of salt. And when that curry came out, oh my word, it was the saltiest curry. I'm out of practice, basically, is what I'm saying. But it's okay, we found the solution. You just put a little bit of yogurt in there and everything is okay. Scripture says, Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Make your conversation taste good, but not too salty. And some of us, you know, we need to practice. We need to practice our conversations. And church is a great place to do that. Now, how do you know if your conversation tasted good? Well, one simple answer. It should make you want more. How do you know food tastes good? Well, after you eat it, you should say, oh, I want to eat that again. That was good. And with the same way with conversation, if someone comes away from having a conversation with you and they feel like, nah, I don't want to talk to him again, that was not seasoned with salt. It didn't taste good. But if someone feels like after a conversation with you, they thought, that was interesting, that was worth my time, then that meant your conversation was seasoned with salt. It's important to have the right attitude. Now, not only to be right, be ready with the right answer, but be ready with the right attitude, because you never know how the conversation will go. It could be polite, nice, pleasant, or it could be even be confrontational. I asked Makiko for permission to share this, and she graciously allowed me to do this. As you know, Makiko Lopez, she's leading up our church's efforts to raise money for orphans in Guatemala. There's a foundation in the States, First Cause, and they're raising money to build an orphanage actually close to Fernando's hometown. And they're buying property, and they want to build an orphanage, a school, and then on a separate piece of property, they want to build a chapel or a church. And Makiko has taken it upon herself to raise the money that she could here in Japan and then send it to this foundation. Last year, in 2 months, and correct me if I'm wrong, Makiko, in 2 months, she was able to raise about $3,000. Is that right? Yeah. And that's great. And that's the Lord working. And she did this through other, many ways. As you know, she sold coffee, or she's collecting, used goods. And by the way, I have some cards, some old bus cards we have. And recycling that. Also, she's going to the swap meet flea market and selling some clothes there. But one thing that really raised some money was one night, her and another Christian lady from a church in Iwakuni went to Nagarekawa, the red light district of Hiroshima, on a Saturday night, the Saturday before Christmas. And they stood on opposite sides of the street and just asked people for donations. A bunch of drunk men looking for, entertainment, found a couple of ladies asking for money for the good reason, for a good cause. And they ended up raising about $800 in one night right there. Money, I'm sorry? From drunk men. Yes, usually from drunk, old, crazy guys. Oh, money? Sure, here you go. Yeah. And orphans are going to get a place to stay because of that. And just to let you know, that $3,000 was just enough, was just what the foundation needed for the seed money. And now she was able to send that, and they are able to buy the property. So they bought the property, and now they're moving forward with that. But anyways, as Makiko and her friend were standing there, people weren't just, throwing money at them, but some people were coming up to her and accusing them. Excuse me, who are you? And what's this money about? What, aren't you just getting money for yourself? You're using these orphans as a kind of, front to get money for yourself. Isn't that what you're doing? And so Makiko and her friend found that not only were they had to be able to provide the right answer and to explain what they were doing, But I don't know, if I were her, if somebody wanted to get up in my face and accuse me of something wrong, I would have to be filled with the Spirit in an immense way to keep my patience, to keep my temper down. And by God's grace, she was able to do that. Not only do we have to have the right answer, but we need to have the right attitude. We are to do it with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. Now, I want to highlight that word respect. Respect. Gentleness and respect. The respect here means actually respect for God. That's the word that's used in the Greek. That's the nuance or the meaning that's being implied there. We are to be gentle with each other. We're supposed to speak kindly to other people. We answer calmly and politely to anyone. But we are also to keep in mind the subject about which we are talking. We are talking about the gospel, the truth. Ultimately, the reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross. That's what we're talking about when we give an answer, when we give a reason. Now, if I were honest with God and completely open with Him, you know what? I would have to admit that I have had conversations with the intent of hurting somebody. I would have to admit that I have used my words to put other people down and to make myself look good. If I were honest, I would have to admit that I have spoken lies and I have used my words to deceive people. And for this, I am truly sorry. For the hurt, and for the pain, and for the sorrow that I have caused. My one hope, is that I believe that when I stand before God, the punishment that I deserve for my words, my attacks, and my gossip, it has all been taken by Jesus Christ when He went to the cross. Now, the Bible says that everyone will get a reward or a punishment for what they say. Jesus Himself said that. But for those who believe in Jesus, their punishment was paid in full by the cross. Through faith in the cross, God gives me forgiveness for my lies, for my attacks, for my gossip, and for my rumors. I thank God for the cross. But not only that, I receive forgiveness, but I also receive God's Spirit. And through God's Spirit, my words are no longer my own. Amen? They are God's. Through God's Spirit, I don't have to tell lies. I don't need to spread rumors. You know, I don't need to lower my voice, look over my shoulder when I speak to somebody. Through God's Spirit, I don't have to attack people and I don't have to put them down. But through God's Spirit, now my words have power to lift people up and to build them up, to support them, and to speak the truth. Amen? My words are no longer worthless, but now they have meaning. This is all because of what Jesus did on the cross. Therefore, when I give an answer to someone who asks me about my hope, my faith, or my religion, I must speak with respect and reverence to Him who went to the cross. Now, other people, they may mock the cross. They might reject it. They might ridicule me for believing in the cross. But that's okay. because that's what Jesus said that they would do. And I fear him more than I fear them. I will respect his opinion of me more than theirs. Do this with gentleness and respect to God. Whenever I give an answer, I'll do my best to give it with gentleness to people, but with respect to Jesus Christ. To those who also believe in the cross, let's do our best this year, even this week, to speak with gentleness and respect. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us be ready with the right answers and the right attitude when we have conversations, conversations that taste good. Let's set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. And then to those here who still have not become a Christian or committed their life to God, the cross is where you find forgiveness from God. The cross is where you will find your answers. I want this year to be Christianity with answers. I want us to be Christians with answers. Reasonable answers, credible evidence. But also Christians who can speak with gentleness and respect. Would you pray with me? And as we pray, I'd like to ask Ian and the worship team to come on up. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a body of believers, your church, who want to be able, to be prepared, to be willing to give an answer to anyone who asks us to give the reason for our hope. So Lord, this year, give us sharp minds. Give us clear thinking, O Lord. But Lord, not sharp tongues. Give us gentleness in our speech. And give us respect and reverence in our spirits towards you. And Lord, for this we will be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.